guys. Welcome back. We're finishing up this series called Breathing Room. And what we've been talking about in this series is this, that we all live a pace. Our lives live a pace. We're living at a pace in our finances, in our emotions, in our relationships, with our schedules. And for most of us, what we don't realize is that there should be some space between how we're living and our limits. Because what we said early on is, we don't like to admit it, but the truth is, we all have limits. I mean, we all have a limit emotionally. We all have a limit financially. Believe it or not, you actually do have a limit financially. You have a limit with relationships. People have a limit in their relationship with you. And you know what? We've got these things. And what we said is, life is better with a little breathing room. Life is better with a little margin. Life is better when I'm not living constantly right here on the edge. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I'm living right here financially, when I'm living right here emotionally, when I'm living right here on the edge, when life happens, because life happens, right? I mean, when something happens in my life, then I'm too close to the edge, and that's not where any of us want to be. We don't want to be that way, but what we do, so many of us, is we live our lives too close to the edge. We live our life too close to our limits. And that's not healthy for us. It's not healthy for anybody else. And so it's what we do. We live our lives right there on the edge emotionally, spiritually, financially. And what we do so many times is in an effort to get the most out of life. In an effort for us to feel like we've gotten the most out of our lives, what do? We try to squeeze one more thing in. We try to fit one more thing into our calendar. We try to fit one more thing into our schedule. We try to fit one more thing in financially. Because if I just had a little bit nicer, if I had just a little bit more, then my life would be better. If I had just a little more time, I could get more done. And we try to squeeze more and more and more out of it. What we said the entire time is, my life and your life is not best lived right here. We're better off when we've got a little space. Because if we've got a little space, what's going to happen? When life happens to us, when things happen in our world, when something happens financially or emotionally, if I've got a little room right here, I'm okay. I'm okay and my family's okay. But if I'm right here, then trouble happens. And what happens to us relationally? Some of us right now, some of you right now, are one conversation away from blowing a fuse in your relationship. You are. I mean, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friend, whatever it is, your relationship is so strained, your relationship is so close to the edge that you're just one conversation away from blowing a gasket. I mean, from losing it, from losing your cool, just going off the deep end. And some of you right now are one bill away. Some of you right now have got your budget so tight, when you look at the money that you have, that you spend every dime that you make, and every week you spend every dime that you make, and sometimes a little more, thanks to credit. But we live our lives so close to that edge that you're sitting here thinking, man, if I open that mailbox on Monday and that hospital bill comes in, or if something happens to one of my kids, or if something happens to me, or for goodness sakes, if I have to go and spend a little bit more money, I don't know what we're going to do. We're finished. And so here you are today. You're right on the edge. And for some of you, you're right on the edge emotionally. I mean, you're in a relationship where you've had it. I mean, you can't take anymore, and you're just about to explode. I mean, if your kid does one more thing, I mean, if he or she does one more thing, you're going to blow a fuse. You're going to lose it. And for some of you, it's not about when you're going to explode. For some of you, you already have. For some of you, you've already blown your gasket. You swore you wouldn't do it again. Right? I mean, I swore I wouldn't blow my fuse again, honey. I swore that I know I said I wouldn't do it again. But you did it again. You said you wouldn't lose your cool with your kids. You said you wouldn't lose your cool with your husband. You said you wouldn't lose it with your wife. But but you did. And you know why? Because relationships die out here on the edge. Relationships die when you don't have any margin. Relationships die when we don't have any space between us and the edge. Because when we get too close, when we're running like this all the time, our relationships don't have any space to give each other forgiveness. They don't have any space to offer each other any understanding because we're running wide open. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to finish this thing up, and we're going to talk about relationships and how we can create some space in those relationships, some healthy breathing room in those relationships. And one of the things that prevents us from doing that is this, is that all of us carry around burdens. All of us carry around weight. You carry around what's going on at work. You carry around what's going on in your day-to-day life. You've got things that you're constantly thinking about, right? I mean, you've got school that you're thinking about if you're in school. I mean, I'm thinking about those exams, and I'm thinking about those tests, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to get to the next level of my education. Some of you are at work, and you're thinking about that boss. And you're thinking about, how am I going to get that promotion? And you're constantly thinking about that person who's at work with you, who has the uncanny ability to drive everyone in the office out of their ever-loving mind. See, you laugh. You know what psychologists say? You spot it because you got it, right? We get it. We laugh, and it's true, we do. But the reason is because we all know somebody like that. And for some of us, we are that person. You know, but the truth is, we live at these limits, and we're constantly thinking about these things, and we're constantly, these ideas are always in our minds. And it's like this burden that's weighing us down, and we don't always talk about it. Men are the worst. We don't want to talk about it, because if you ask us, we're fine, right? I mean, everything's okay, but we've got these burdens, and what do? Finally, I've had this burden long enough, so I'm going to come home, or I'm going to go to my significant other, or I'm going to go to whoever's in my life, my kid, my wife, my friend, whoever, and I'm going to unload, and I'm going to hand this burden over to them. And you don't do it consciously. You don't make that decision on a conscious level, but you take part of that burden, and you put it off on those other people. And I'll tell you how you know you're doing it. I'll tell you how you know you're handing off that burden to someone in your family, because you make these promises. Daddy will do better. I promise I'll do better next time. Hey, mommy will do better. She won't do that again. I know I'm late. I know I'm late again. But I promise I won't be next time. I promise I won't be. I won't again. When you make those kind of promises, you know that you've handed it off. I mean, you say things like, I know I put work first, but I won't next time. I came home, I know it's 2 hours and you had dinner ready, and I know you worked really hard on that meal, and I came home late and it was cold, but I won't do that again. When we start making those promises, you know that you've handed that off. Another way you know you're living that way relationally is you constantly miss important events. I mean, you miss those birthdays. You miss those anniversaries. You miss those milestones. You miss those ball games. You miss whatever the little concert was or whatever the dance recital was. You miss those things. And what we do is we point to the future. And we say, don't worry, this is just a season. I just have to work hard right now. But here's what I've seen. That season never ends. You're still in it. And you're still making the same excuses. And I'm not standing up here judging you because I do the same thing. We all do. But the question is, what are we going to do about it? We say things like, you know, don't worry, next summer we'll take a vacation. This summer, you know, I just got to work harder this summer. You know, next birthday will be huge. You know, next holiday, we'll go above and beyond. We just keep pointing to the future. We keep making excuses. But then there's never any change. And what happens is, finally, the people in our lives, the people that we love, we've handed this burden off to them. You know, we've put this on them. And we've made excuses and we've made empty promises. And we've said things we wish we hadn't said. Surely one day our children, our wives, whoever it is, our husbands, our kids, the people in our lives, finally they look at us and they've had enough. And they fall apart. And they break down. And what do we do? I mean, what do we do? Especially if you're a guy. Okay, because I really can't speak for women, but I can speak for men. When they fall apart, when we put this burden on them over and over and over and over and over again, and finally they fall apart, what do we say, guys? Well, all I said was, you know, I mean, I just said pass the ketchup. She pulled out a 45. You know, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. I mean, all I said was, will you take her this time? You know? And we think it's about that little old moment. We're like, well, why is she getting so mad about that? I don't understand. And she's going, but you've lied and you've promised and you said you would. And it's built up over time and they've had enough. I mean, they've just had enough. And they can't take anymore because we placed on them something they were never designed to carry. We've placed in their life something they weren't designed to carry. And it wasn't fair and it wasn't right of us to ask them. And unfortunately what happens is, if we wait till that breaking point, if we wait till that moment where they just fall apart emotionally, so many times if we wait, sometimes it's too late. It just is. Sometimes you can't undo that. I'm not saying this to try to scare you. I'm not saying this to try to freak you out. But there are times you can cross a line emotionally and you can cross a line relationally. And somebody's just going to leave. I mean, sometimes your kids don't recover. I mean, people say this all the time. I have no idea who started this phrase. Kids are resilient. They'll bounce back. Really? If you think that, then why do therapists have a job? If kids just bounce back, then why do people have to go to talk to a therapist when they're 30, 40, and 50 years old? People don't just bounce back. Yes, they love you anyway because they're your children. But they do not bounce back emotionally. They do not bounce back relationally. Because there are lines that we cross. And when we cross them, sometimes we can't uncross them. Sometimes we can't undo the pain we've done. Yes, there's grace, and yes, there's forgiveness, but we've got to be aware that everybody ain't Jesus, and they can't just forgive you the way he did. It's hard, and it's work, and yes, it can happen, but we've got to be aware that we can't live right here all the time. We can't live our lives with no margin and with no space, not giving our husbands, our wives, the people in our lives just a little breathing room. We can't live that way. It's not healthy for them. It's not healthy for us. But why do we do it? I mean, we all agree, I think, that it's not a good idea to live right here. It's not a good idea to put that kind of burden on people. It's not a good idea to put other things before those we love. But why do we do it? Why in the world do we live that kind of pace? Well, one of the reasons we put things like our career before people is, hey, you know what? Usually they hand out promotions at work. They hand out awards at work. Maybe you get a little recognition at work. Hey, listen, the last time I took the trash to the dump, I didn't come home to fanfare. Oh, he took out the trash. You know, it doesn't work that way. You don't see progress at home the way you do at work. At work, I can check it off. I've got a list and things are done. And when they're done, I feel good about me. And so I want to put energy and time into what I'm doing at work and at home. I love my family, but my family's not a checklist. My family's not something that I check off and say complete. Sometimes that energy that I pour in, those games that I go to, sometimes that time I spend at home, maybe playing a video game, or sometimes that time I spend at home playing a board game, or sometimes the time I spend at home just listening, or those moments at the table that nobody's jumping in and going, here's an award, you did 5 family dinners in a row. No, you don't get that. You know what you get? 20 years from now, you may get a child who loves
loves their spouse and their family better than you did. Who loves themselves. Who feels whole and feels safe. And they're able to serve God and the world in a way that you never were because you chose to invest. But we don't do that because we're looking for that affirmation. We're looking for what we get at, what we're getting at work. And there's no, like I said, there's no celebration for some of these things. There's no fanfare in our lives for the ordinary, for the day-to-day. There's no, it's like you don't get this instant gratification for what you're doing in your life right now. But you know, that thing you're doing with your family, that thing you're doing with your friends, those relationships, because relationships are the key. They're the most important thing on earth. When Jesus was asked, what's most important, what did he say? Loving God and loving people. He said, loving God and loving people. Because relationships are everything. And that's where we see the most important. And you know, relationships are, it's like relationships are first tier things. Relationships are best things. They're good things. Your job's not a bad thing. You might want to go to work so you can eat and live indoors. Okay? I'm not saying stay home and start a commune and don't feed your family. But you know what? Don't get them out of order. Don't put some other activity above your relationships because they're key. That's why Paul said this in Ephesians 5. He said what? He said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This idea of mutual submission, it's not just for a marital relationship. It's for your relationship with your children. Mutual submission works in every relationship. It's the way God designed the universe to work. But what happens is, so many times, I don't want to submit. I want to be on top. I want to rise to the top. I want to be in charge. I want to put you down so I feel better. You know, that's like a national pastime, especially in Christianity. If I can make you feel bad, I'm going to feel better. But what Jesus is saying, no, submit to one another out of, what Paul said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then Jesus said this in Matthew 20. He said what? He said, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. He said, it says this in the New International Version. It says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. The idea of mutual submission. The idea of putting your needs ahead of my needs. The idea of putting the people that are most important in your life. The idea of putting their needs before your needs. Their deal before your deal. That's what mutual submission is all about. I mean, let's be honest. It means I might have to rearrange my calendar. It's time for public confession time with Jeff. This is not easy for me. It's not easy for me when I have a schedule, when I have things laid out for my day that I'm going to go to here and to here and to here and to here. And when I get all that done, I'm going to feel good about me. When things come in that I didn't have planned, that I might call an interruption, whether they be something for work or they be my family, or they be something else. It's not my natural inclination to go, yay, an interruption. Okay? I don't just go, yeah, that's awesome. Okay? I'm working on it. Not there yet, but I'm working on it because you know what? Those relationships are more important. Those relationships are more important than what maybe I had planned. I mean, here's the thing. God never said in his word, he never said to Jeff, Jeff, submit to your job out of reverence for Christ. He did. He said, submit to one another. You know, I've been to a few weddings. Thank God I've been to weddings too instead of just funerals. But you know, I've been to a lot of weddings and I've been around a lot of people who preach and teach. And that verse is from Ephesians 5:21. But Ephesians 5:22, they like to quote it more often. They like to say, wives, submit to your husbands. For some reason, they never start with submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I don't know why that is.
it's strange why guys want to choose the verse that tells women to submit to them. They don't want to talk about the verse that says submit to one another. They just miraculously leave that one out. What a coincidence. Insecure guys in pulpits. Anyway, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Mutual submission is a posture that every one of us needs to adopt in every area of our relational lives. Like I said, it may be rearranging our calendar. Paul said what? He said, submit to one another. And then he went on to say, how am I supposed to love my spouse? He said, as Christ loved the church. That's a pretty high bar. Because what did Jesus do for his church? He put his life on the line. He gave up his life. He sacrificed himself for the church. And that's what he's saying I need to do. He said, husbands, love your wives as he loved the church. You know, I know that's not easy. And I know it's not always easy. Because some of you right now, you've got an idea of how you ought to submit to your spouse. You've got an idea of how you ought to love your spouse. And the reason you have that idea is because your relationship is right here. Your relationship with him or her is right here. And you don't have any reverence for her. And you don't have any reverence for him because you're done. And the reason you're done is because you don't have any breathing room. You don't have any space. You don't have enough margin in your life to let them make a mistake. I mean, they're one stupid choice away from you giving them the boot. You know why? Because you haven't built in that margin. And you know, guys, the thing is this. What we choose so many times, what we choose in life, is we choose things that are good things, and we put them above the best things. We choose good things, and we put them above best things. And mutual submission pushes that to the side. And what we don't understand is that you're sacrificing. When you choose to do that, you're sacrificing what only you can do to do something that just about anybody can do. I mean, believe it or not, you think you're special at work, but the day you leave, they're going to find somebody else. I mean, I would like to think that y'all are going to miss me, but let's be honest. I mean, I'm an intellectually semi-honest person here. About 3 weeks later, you're going to be like, Jeff, who? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's okay. All right? I mean, I'm not, like, dying from it. But, you know, it's true. We think that we're irreplaceable. If I don't show up, then the world will stop spinning. It's just not true. But I'll tell you this. If you don't show up for your kids, something might stop spinning. If you don't show up for your wife or your husband or your friendships, those areas of your life, yes, something might stop spinning. So stop putting things above, stop putting good things above the best things. Stop putting secondary things above the best things. Because when you do, when you trade those things, not only do you lose, but they lose. And you look back one day and you ask yourself, how can all life have been different? I mean, look, I'm looking back now and I'm looking at my kids and I'm looking at my relationships and I'm looking back at how could that have been different if I had chosen to put them first? If I had chosen to put their deal before my deal, how could this have turned out different? That season of my life could have turned out differently. Listen, young people, I'm telling you, listen, to a guy. And I know when I say it, I hear the voice in your head that tells me I'm wrong. Because I had your brain one time. Just trust me. Think that I might actually be right today. Don't live a life of regret. Okay? If you haven't reached your 20s yet and you have a dream, follow it. Chase it with your whole heart. Do not reach the next season of your life and look back. Don't be in your 20s and regret what you didn't do or regret what you did do when you were a teenager. Don't take those relationships that you wish you didn't have into the next season of life, into a marriage. Consider that now. It's important. Hey, guys that are in your 20s and your 30s, hey, for an old boy that's in his 40s now, guess what? It gets here quick. Make sure you live that. Focus on the best things. Focus on what He has in store for you. Don't wonder what God might have done. Don't wake up one day and wish that you'd live differently. Don't let fear be your motivation. Don't let fear drive your decisions. Kick fear in the teeth and say, I'm going to live the life that God called me to live. You know what? I may get passed over for that promotion. I may get passed over for whatever that thing is that you're putting ahead of those relationships. You may get passed over. But 10, 20 years down the road, you won't regret it. Because you've invested where it matters. You've invested in what counts. Don't trade it away. Step back. I mean, that's my way. Listen, if we can finish this series and say anything, whether it's your finances, whether it's your emotions, whether it's your schedule, or whether it's your relationships, do not live on the edge. Don't live out here with no breathing room. I don't want to see you fall. I don't want to see you tumble. I don't want to see your families crumble and fall apart. Give yourself some space. Give yourself some room. Give yourself some breathing room. Because your relationships matter. You matter. And the way you live your life matters. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the truth that you care about us more than we have any idea. God, you're concerned with our day-to-day lives, and most importantly, you're concerned with our relationships. You're concerned with how we choose to live them, how we choose to live for you, with you, through you, and in those most important spaces of our lives. And today I ask that you give us the courage to kick fear in the face and live the life you've called us to. Live as people called to love and to submit to one another. Not just as husbands and wives, but to submit to one another as your followers. God, take our lives and use them for your glory. Let the day be a new day. Ask these things.